I'd like to try an experiment with you this morning. Hopefully you're sitting near somebody. I'd like one of you to make a fist. I'd like the one sitting beside you to open that fist. Just take a moment. Okay, anybody succeed? Now what I'd like you to do is each of you take one hand, put it inside the other, like this. Now with your fist hand, push your other hand. And I said nothing about doing anything with your other hand, did I? I don't think I really saw any of you do that. Just like, did any of you ask your neighbor to just open your fist? We promptly went at it, and you promptly clenched it. I didn't tell you you had to keep it closed. What does that tell us about ourselves? We instinctively resist. It's an instinct. Somebody pushes you, you push back. Comes just automatically. You don't even really have to think about it. Somebody says something mean, there's always a quick retort. And if you don't have one, you do think about what you could have said. And the next time you get an opportunity, you retaliate. And it gets meaner and meaner, and the pushing gets more and more forceful. You see that on football fields until the yellow flags start throwing. You see that in hockey. It's often the retaliator, of course, who spends time in the penalty box because nobody saw the first infraction, but they all see the second. It's the first line of defense that I've found in even high schoolers. Well, he did. We're not talking about what he did. We're talking about what you did. It's instinctive. Now, think for a moment. Does that really please Jesus? Do we really think that that's how Jesus wants us to live? Does it further his kingdom? It's how the world operates. If you've got a buddy, good and true, better get him before he gets you. It's how we operate. It's how the world operates. Not so with us. We are to live radically different from that. Look at Romans 12. We've been in Romans 12 since the beginning of the month. Hopefully by now you've gotten a resolution. At the end of this sermon, you get to write something down on your bulletin and take it with you for the rest of the year. So hopefully the Holy Spirit has been speaking. But turn to Romans 12, page 1205. We'll again start with the first two verses, and then we'll skip down to verse 9. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Do not be proud. But associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is how we live differently from the world. Our culture is obsessed with rights, particularly the right not to be made uncomfortable. In modern academia, there's a lot of discussion about trigger warnings, or even on blogs, to put a trigger warning. And it's to warn somebody who will either read or listen to this that there might be something in the discussion that would make the person feel anxious or disturbed. I'd like to be not made uncomfortable. The last couple of years, some noted graduation speakers have been disinvited because some graduates didn't want that message coming at them to make them feel uncomfortable. Others go to court when they get offended. And every few years, there is someone who files suit to remove the reference to God from the Pledge of Allegiance. That insertion only happened in the 1950s, so it's not like it's a critical part of the pledge, but it is part of the pledge now. But there's always somebody who says, "I'm offended by that reference. It ought to be out." Or "remove the 'In God We Trust' from our money." People go to court. Or recently out of upstate New York, there was a court case about a local city council meeting that was opened with prayer. And they would invite local clergy persons to come and open the meeting with prayer. Well, the town is 95% Christian. So 95% of the opening prayers were Christian. Somebody thought, that's not good. So let's file suit to get the prayer removed. We don't want exclusive prayer. Can you empathize at all? You may not have gone to court, you may not have sued anybody, but don't you know what it is to get a little riled up in your spirit when somebody tramples on your rights? When you have been disrespected, there's just something in us that says, that's not right. And we move to defend ourselves. We get irritated. I'm going to get even. At least that's the temptation. But as we've seen in the Sermon on the Mount, and as you see here in Romans 12, those are not the ethics of the kingdom. Rather, what do we read? Don't return evil for evil. Never take your own vengeance. No matter what the provocation might be, we are never to return evil for evil. Jesus says, so by that behavior, we'll prove to be children of God. Because God is indiscriminate in his grace. It rains on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the just and the unjust. Wicked people get beautiful weather on their vacations. God's that way. He's generous. And Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and here at the end of Romans 12, in a very similar setting, very similar kind of text, we're told how to live being indiscriminately generous. A vindictive spirit, a desire to retaliate, is not consistent with being a Christian. It is not Christ-like. You don't find that spirit in Jesus. Under many provocations, Jesus never returns evil for evil. And if that is still instinctive to you, you need a new instinct. You need a new heart. And Jesus can give that. So if you have a trouble with returning evil for evil, flee to Jesus. Because that is certainly not how Jesus behaved toward us. We provoked him. In our first parents, Adam and Eve provoked the Lord. And we in them provoked the Lord, and we continue to do it. And yet he is forgiving. He forgave us, and he continues to forgive us. We did him wrong, and we continue to do him wrong. And our Lord never returns evil for evil. Aren't you glad? I am. That God has not treated me the way I've treated him. But he is forgiving. He has forgiven, and he continues to forgive. That's why he says, live this way. Prove to be children of God. We're to leave a blessing. We are to do good to those who have done wrong. Retaliation is nothing more than self-justification. I have to have the last word. I have to have the last touch. You push me, I'll push you harder, so you won't touch me again. I have to be in that position, and that is self-justification. But what do the scriptures teach? We are justified by faith, not by retaliation. We do not need to respond in like kind. We meet evil not with evil, but with faith, trusting the Lord. And one way to minimize this, it's to do what is honorable in the sight of all. So Paul writes here, verse 17, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. One way you can help minimize the evil that might come at you is be a good citizen. Be a good neighbor. Be an excellent employee. It can minimize the evil. Peter in 1 Peter 4 speaks about the fact that Christians suffer. But what does he say? Don't let any of you suffer as a wrongdoer. I don't have any sympathy for the Christian who suffers for doing something wrong. When friends of mine, relatives of mine, call me up sheepishly and say, I got a speeding ticket, I don't feel much sympathy. It's posted. Go this fast and no more. You go faster? Well, Lesson learned. You can ill afford that, but lesson learned. You're going to pay it. And Peter writes that. Don't let any of you suffer like a murderer or a thief or that kind of thing. If you're going to suffer for the name of Christ, that's one thing. And in that, there's a blessing. But don't suffer for doing wrong things. Rather, Paul says here, respect what is right. Live above reproach so that others will have no reason to find a problem. Rotary, which is a service organization, it's about 100 years old, has a four-way test. This is what it is. Of the things we think, say, or do, is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? Wow. A Rotary happened to be founded by a Christian. It's not a Christian organization, but this is its kind of motto, its four-way test. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? If you live like that, you can minimize the evil that might come at you. We can also do what is right and honorable in leading the way in humanitarian relief, in care for the poor, racial reconciliation. We'll do better if, instead of simply condemning the sexually immoral, we befriend them and commend a better way through friendships. We'd do better than simply condemning abortion, but to show compassion for women trapped by circumstances. What is good and honorable in the face of all is kindness. So even where we disagree, can we at least be kind in our disagreement? Christians should be refreshing. Your Bible is open. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. It's to the right. On page 1248. Philippians 2 at verse 14. Verses we taught our children. Verses that I, as a dad, also need to remember. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Are you known in your place of work as a grumbler? As a complainer? All things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You shine as a light in the world because you don't grumble and you don't dispute. We should excel because of our attitude. Daniel, who was serving in the Persian court, the Babylonian court, later in the Persian court, it said of him that the king promoted him and sought to set him over the whole realm of Babylon because he had an excellent spirit. You have an excellent spirit? Some of you know this, my mechanic back in Maryland. I'd see him on Monday, and he'd say, I said, how you doing? He goes, it's Monday. I have all week to excel. He was a Christian. And Jim had a heart and a spirit. It was excellent. What he didn't like was most of the time I ever saw him, it cost me money. So we need to do some other things together where it doesn't cost me money. But what a great attitude. It's Monday. I have all week to excel. Monday afternoon, my high schoolers look at me like I'm nuts when I tell them that. But it's an excellent spirit. Do you have one? Good works speak volumes. Jesus in Matthew 5, again on the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light shine that the world can see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Kids Zone is an honorable and good work. Come on Tuesday night, they need help. Cleanup Day is an honorable and good work. And you as a congregation have an excellent reputation in Wilkinsburg, in the immediate neighborhood, because of those two things fundamentally. They know you love their children. And they know you love them because you board up houses and make the neighborhood safer and cleaner. It's a good work. And you can add to that Wilkinsburg Christian Housing and Catching Fire Mentoring. Maybe there's something more we can do. Maybe you're not yet involved at your work. Do good work that others might glorify the Father who is in heaven. As far as it is possible with you, live at peace with everyone. Daniel's promotion because of his excellent spirit also brought about trouble. And there were guys who were envious. They didn't like Daniel because of his excellent spirit. And they orchestrated things to get rid of him. So sometimes it's not possible to live at peace. But you should not be the cause of the evil. You should not be the one disrupting the peace. If somebody else wants to disrupt the peace because of you, that's on them. But as far as it is with you, live peaceably with all. Let them take responsibility for the broken peace. Give yourself to living at peace with others. Deal with your differences in gentleness. Personally, not in email, not on Facebook, not on a blog, face to face, gently. Confront sin where necessary, absolutely, but in a spirit of mercy and compassion, kindness, with some understanding that, yeah, I also need grace. I also need forgiveness. Don't pick fights. One of the qualifications of an elder is one who is not pugnacious. What a great word. A brawler. One who's always looking for a fight. Maybe you are one of those. Maybe you know people like that. They love a good fight. And if there isn't one, they'll start one. That's just who they are. Turn to James chapter 3. Also to the right. On page 1290. James chapter 3 at verse 14. Well, I'll back up. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every evil practice. That's not living peaceably. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. As far as it's possible with you, live at peace with all. So make it your resolve not to be the cause of another's anger. And should you right now not be at peace with someone else, don't wait for that person to come to you. And I know this is hard. Go to that person and seek his or her forgiveness. That's hard to do. Admit you were wrong. Repent of whatever you did that contributed to the lack of peace. Even if in your heart you only think it was 5% of the 100%, repent of the 5%. Even if it's 0.5%, you contributed something. Repent of that and ask for forgiveness, that you can live at peace. Can't we live at peace at least here in the Church of Jesus Christ? And when the peace gets broken, don't take your own revenge. Don't take your own revenge. This is different from retaliation, because vengeance has to do with justice. Retaliation is getting even. Vengeance is, I want to see that justice is done. Don't take matters into your own hand. We are not God. J.R.R. Tolkien has a wonderful exchange about this between one of the hobbits and Gandalf the Wizard. Frodo says, "What a pity that Bilbo did not stab that vile creature when he had a chance. Pity. It was pity that stayed his hand. Pity and mercy, not to strike without need. And he has been well rewarded, Frodo. Be sure that he took so little hurt from the evil and escaped to the end because he began his ownership of the ring so, with pity." "I am sorry," said Frodo. "I am frightened, and I do not feel any pity for Gollum." "You have not seen him." "No, and I don't want to," said Frodo. "I can't understand you. Do you mean to say that you and the elves have let him live on after all those horrible deeds? He deserves death. Deserves it." "I dare say he does. Many that live deserve death, and some that die deserve life. Can you give it to them? Then do not be too eager to deal out death in judgment. For even the very wise cannot see all ends." It's not in our power to give out life and death. Don't take your own vengeance. It's not our calling. We leave room for God. In his love, we haven't received his justice. We've received mercy. So we leave our vindication in his hands. And this is the motivating force, the spiritual dynamic of living differently from the world. We've been transformed by grace. And now we are free to respond in the same way, even towards an enemy. And it might even bring about his conviction and change. It's like burning coals on his head. Feed him. Give him something to drink. Show him goodness and mercy. Regardless of what happens, it is clear our path is not to take our revenge, but to live by faith showing mercy. And in that kind of life, we'll overcome evil with good. Again, revenge and retaliation are but forms of self-justification. They display a lack of faith. We're acting because we don't think God will do right by us. I don't really think God sees this, so because he's going to be slow to act, I'm going to act. And I'll make sure justice is done. Who are we to claim that? Faith says otherwise. I am justified by faith. We are justified by faith. We do not need to respond to evil with evil. We walk a different path. In fact, we're freed to overcome evil with good. That's what happened at the cross. That's the whole point of the cross. That is the ultimate overcoming of evil with good. Jesus laid down his rights, his right to life, his right to being right. He was counted as wrong. He was counted as a transgressor. He was murdered and executed as a traitor and as seditious to Rome amongst thieves. He took it all upon himself willingly. That is how we overcome evil with good. We follow the same example. We follow the same path of self-sacrifice. And we entrust the results to God the Father, that he will do what is right. He will defend his honor. He will vindicate his name. And we do this by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. And part of that gets very, very practical. We take responsibility for our emotions. You make me so angry. No, you don't. You do stuff and I choose to get angry. What if I choose not to get angry? Everything's changed. What if I choose to be happy? What if I choose to be content? What if I overcome evil by choice in doing good? We will never choose that way unless the cross is front and center in our thinking. Unless that forms the grid through which we look at the world. This is how Jesus treated me. This is now how I will treat others. So let us resolve as a church to overcome evil with good. Transformed Christians show the true, genuine article of faith by living differently from the world. From the heart, by faith, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God. 13 verses of Romans 12, 29 exhortations and encouragements. Maybe one of those you can resolve this year to work on in the power of the Holy Spirit. So as I pray, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, which one of these does he want you to work on? And I want you to write it down on your bulletin. You've had all January to pray about this and read about it. So now make a commitment. And when you fall short, ask his forgiveness. Happened 2 days ago. I was convicted by my sermon last week. Got passed on a double yellow line. I was really irritated. I said, this is exactly what I was talking about last week. And I prayed a blessing, as hard as that was. Not let him get hit at the next intersection, but God bless him in some way. Oh, it was hard. That's what it takes. The cross was not easy. It was hard. But by faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome the world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, guide our thoughts right now. This is your word. And we've read it and we've thought over it together over the last 4 weeks, going exhortation by exhortation, encouragement by encouragement. It is so otherworldly. It is so countercultural. But we make a commitment to live like this, to be transformed in our thinking and in our hearts, and overcoming the world by faith. And so, Holy Spirit, now direct our heart. Hopefully you've been doing that the whole time. For us to now purposefully say, this is the one. This is the hard one. This is the way of the cross that I need to walk this year. And by faith, we'll jot it down. And by faith, 11 months from now, we will have seen improvement to the glory of your name. And it's in your power that we ask. Amen.